Good morning. Happy Reformation to you, and welcome to our guests and visitors. We're so thankful to be with you here in God's house this morning. This morning begins the last season of the church year, a season known as End Times, where we focus on several of the promises and encouragements that Jesus has for us in the years leading up to his return. This morning, he encourages us to stand firm on him and his word, even when persecution and danger comes. We'll hear more about that in our service. We'll follow the order of service as it's printed out for you in your worship folder and projected on the screen as well, beginning with our first hymn, The Church's One Foundation. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Confession has two parts. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that our hearts and minds are ruined by sin. We daily twist your clear truth, depart from its holy practice, and even participate in wickedness. Lord, we repent and seek your reformation and renewal. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. There is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. You have his almighty word on it. As a called servant of the word, I announce the grace of God to all of you. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, you direct the church in every age. Guide us in our generation to be bold in our witness to the gospel and faithful and clear in our confession of the faith entrusted to us, freely and joyfully sharing the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom with you and the Father we worship, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may take your seats. Our first lesson for today also serves as the basis for our sermon from Daniel chapter 6. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him. He could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. This is the word of our God. We continue with Psalm 46.
Oh, come, behold the spear and tells the wars to cease. Oh, mighty one of Israel, you are on our side. We walk by faith in God who burns the chariots with fire.
Please stand. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 10. Glory be to you, O Lord. Jesus tells us that we can expect some difficult situations, persecution, tense times, but he says, stand firm. My spirit will go with you. You are prepared to speak in my name. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. You may take your seats for our hymn of the day, A Mighty Fortress is Our God.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, our mighty fortress. Amen. God's word we consider in our sermon today is the lesson from Daniel 6. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. With a bite strength of 650 pounds per square inch, lions' jaws can crush bones like saltine crackers. An unarmed human in the presence of a hungry or a protective lion, not to mention several lions, would have virtually zero chance of survival. To stare into the face of a lion is to look into the eyes of death itself. Your heart pounds, your mind races, your body freezes up. How terrifying! But the Lord, down through the centuries, has given to his people a fierce faith, a faith to face the terrifying and the terrible. And the Lord wants to give to you and to me today that same fierce faith. He wants to arm us with a faith to face lions, bold in service to God and brave to suffer for God. Daniel had survived quite a bit over the course of his life. Back when he was a teenager, Daniel survived starvation and slaughter. When the Babylonian armies came and laid siege to his hometown, the capital city of Jerusalem, Daniel was carried off into captivity along with several others from the royalty and the nobility. Daniel survived about 40 years of Nebuchadnezzar's rule as Daniel served him. Nebuchadnezzar liked to go around handing out death threats, and he was usually happy to collect on them. Daniel had to be constantly alert and on top of his game during Nebuchadnezzar's rule. Daniel also survived the transition of power from the Babylonians to the Medes and Persians when Nebuchadnezzar's descendant Belshazzar was assassinated and Darius, the Persian, began to rule. Now, at this point in Daniel's life, he's around 80 years old, or maybe a little bit older, but he's still serving one of the most powerful rulers in the world, and he was about to face one of the most treacherous episodes in his life. The new king, Darius, had just issued a decree that anyone in his land who prayed to any god or any human other than King Darius himself become the main course at the next lion luncheon. But Daniel didn't care what other people thought or who was watching. Daniel wasn't going to keep quiet just so he could keep the peace. Daniel wasn't going to be pressured into compromising his loyalty to God just so he could coast through the rest of his years of public service into a cozy retirement. No, Daniel went right away, as usual, back home and worshiped his God in front of an open window for anyone to see. Daniel prayed to God as he faced Jerusalem. I know this was very fitting because Jerusalem and the temple there, after all, that's where God had chosen to dwell among his chosen people. That's where several sacrifices had taken place down through the years, all of which pointed ahead to the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Daniel set 3 times aside each day regularly for prayer to God. That didn't mean Daniel couldn't pray at other times as well, but it did mean that Daniel guarded that time for that important aspect of his worship life, because of all the other duties and demands of his royal position, his prayer life would not be neglected. Daniel, at this time, he was a pretty high up individual in the Persian government. We could compare him to one of the president's cabinet members or even the vice president himself. Yet Daniel humbly got down on his knees and prayed to God. Even though it could mean his death, Daniel gave thanks to God instead of giving up on God or giving God a piece of his mind. Daniel prayed to a higher power, higher than the king of Persia, higher than King Darius. Daniel prayed to the highest power, to God, asking him for help. And even though Daniel couldn't be present at the temple in Jerusalem to worship, he made sure, he was determined to worship God from his home. And it's here, as we see Daniel's boldness in service to God, that we can't help but compare him to us and our boldness. Over the past several months, our government has issued decrees and mandates and recommendations that have affected our worship, but still allow for our worship. Those various guidelines and mandates, they may make worship a little bit more effort for us, a little bit uncomfortable at times, but it's not as though our life is on the line, as though we're facing death threats. Yet instead of being bold and determined in our faith, instead of a fierce faith, so often we've been bashful and backed away. Those who choose to distance themselves from church at this time still may distance themselves and stay away from even watching worship on a screen, watching recorded services, or paging through their Bible, staying away from that too. Others who are regularly in person, present here for worship, are often absent from their home devotions and prayers. Some are so caught up in the craziness of our country right now that they spend more time griping about people than giving thanks to God. Others are so busy worrying about the presidential election, don't take time to worship God and call on him for help at a time like this. Some hide their faith from people who might be interested in listening. Others openly disregard God's guidance for their lives. Some are content to concede and to compromise their faith under pressures from home. Each in our own way, we have backed off and been bashful instead of bold in our faith. You and I deserve to be lowered to the lions and left to be devoured. The same officials who enticed Darius to make that decree, they were prowling around Daniel's house. They couldn't wait to pounce on him. They were slinking around. They snarled at Daniel's Jewish background. They were threatened by Daniel's qualifications. They felt threatened by that, and they couldn't wait to jump on Daniel. Now, with this illegal prayer Daniel was engaging in. So they went and reported Daniel to King Darius and reminded Darius, this law can't be changed. Darius felt trapped. And it seemed as though Daniel's fate was sealed. So into the lion's den he went. A large stone, a boulder, was rolled over the front of the den so Daniel could not escape. Signet rings sealed the things so that no one would try breaking Daniel out of there. And King Darius spent the night troubled and tormented about the life of his top official. Daniel, on the other hand, he spent the night in trust. The mighty God sent a mighty angel, clamped shut the mouths of the lions for Daniel, who opened his mouth to God in prayer. The God of all, the judge of all, found Daniel innocent, and Daniel was rescued by faith. Not because Daniel was so talented or held such a high position or worked so hard. Daniel was rescued because he trusted in his God. And that is how God delivers you and me from death as well. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever has faith in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from works. Daniel was rescued by his God, by faith in his God. And that is how the Lord rescues you and me from death too, by faith in Jesus, who boldly served God in spite of death threats and plots against his life. As Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, as Jesus openly taught in the temple courts, as Jesus boldly preached repentance to the Jewish leaders, we are rescued from death by faith in Jesus, who gave thanks to God and fervently prayed in the hours leading up to his death sentence. We are rescued from death by faith in Jesus, who was put to death on the cross for us, sealed inside the tomb, and then came out of that cave alive on the third day. We can be bold in service to God. No matter what situation we face, no matter how dangerous or deadly it gets, we can have a fierce faith in Jesus, a faith to face lions, bold in service to God, but also brave to suffer for God. Daniel trusted in God as he faced the lion's den. He was brave in that situation, but God's people down through the generations, in every generation, face lions and dangers of their own. 500 years ago, Martin Luther faced a lion who snarled and snapped and was seeking to scarf him down. Leo X, the name Leo means lion. And Leo, he was the leader of the church at that time. He roared, saying that we are saved not by faith, but by works. Not by the precious blood of Christ, but by money. We are saved more by relics than a redeemer, by saints more than the Savior of all, by loyalty to a vicar's decrees more so than to the Savior's unchanging word. Leo sent other lions like Miltitz and Eck and Oleander, other lions who were sent to maul the discoveries that Luther made in God's word. Leo growled threats and excommunication. But Martin Luther stood firm, even when faced with death. Martin Luther stood in front of emperors and princes and priests and bishops and other dignitaries, and he said, "I cannot take back what I've written. Unless I can be convinced from God's word and plain reason, because it is not safe, it is not wise to go against conscience, I stand on God's word and on my Savior, Jesus Christ." For taking that stand, Martin Luther was condemned to death as a heretic. That fierce faith that was brave to suffer for God. But God, in that situation, chose to snatch Martin Luther away. Martin Luther was whisked away, kidnapped, that was staged, and put into hiding at the Wartburg Castle. There, he hid out for a while, several months. He was free to study God's word. He even translated the New Testament into the language of the people so that more people could have a fierce faith, a faith to face lions. Now, down through the ages, God has not always chosen to rescue people in the same way as he did Daniel and Martin Luther. Just ask Abel from last weekend's sermon, who was killed in cold blood by his brother Cain. Or ask Ahimelech and the other priests there from Nob, as King Saul ordered that they be cut down. Ask Zechariah, son of Jehoiada, when King Joash ordered that Zechariah be stoned right there in the temple courtyard. Ask Stephen when the Sanhedrin stoned him to death. Or James, the brother of John, who was beheaded by Herod. Or Paul, as he was poured out like a drink offering in Rome. Ask Christians in the early Christian church in the Roman Empire as they were fed to the lions. Yet God rescued them still. Rescued them to eternal life. Rescued by faith in their risen Savior Jesus. Rescued by God's almighty power for life in heaven with him. They were able to be bold. They were able to be brave in the face of suffering for their God. They had a fierce faith, faith to face lions, and that's the same kind of faith that God gives to you and to me today. By his mighty word, we can be brave to face suffering for God. Brave to face suffering, whether that's being criticized by a significant other, or teased by our peers. Brave to face disapproval from our family members or pressure from a spouse. Brave to face being denounced by our society or being canceled from our job. Brave to face even death itself if God puts that in our path. We are willing to suffer that for the one who suffered for us. 500 years before Daniel, the Holy Spirit used King David to prophesy about Jesus and about how Jesus would suffer for us. There in Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Roaring lions, tearing their prey, open their mouths wide against me. The Sanhedrin roared against Jesus. The soldiers tore away at him. He suffered for our salvation. It's because of Jesus, who suffered for us and won salvation for us, that we will worship him every day. We will turn to him in every trouble. We will pray to him, giving thanks and calling on his name anytime we are in danger. We can be brave to suffer whatever circumstances come our way with the faith to face lions, brave in suffering for God. 2,500 years later, this account of Daniel in the lion's den still echoes down through the ages. What would lead Daniel to risk so much? Why would he be willing to face the terrors of the lair? Was it really worth it? Yes, it was. Because in doing so, Daniel gave glory to God. Through that situation, the Lord brought rescue to Daniel. And through that episode in Daniel's life, God brought encouragement to so many other people, all of his people, all around the Persian Empire at that time. Because at the time when Daniel was rescued from the lion's den, right about then, that's when the Persian government ordered, you Jews who were over here in captivity, you can go home. You can go back to Jerusalem and begin rebuilding the temple to God, the God of Daniel. It was at this time when Daniel was rescued by God from the lion's den that Darius issued a decree, everyone in the whole kingdom must fear and revere the God of Daniel. Everyone, this is the God who is living and eternal. This is the God who rescues and saves. If you are one of God's people scattered around the Persian Empire, how encouraging would that have been for you? How invigorating wouldn't have that have been to go on to serve your God, not to give up hope there in captivity? Because that's what God does with the faith to face lions. He brings encouragement to other people all around for generations to come. Isn't that what he did through Martin Luther's faith to face lions? 500 years later, you and I still treasure knowing that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, from the scriptures alone, in Christ alone, to God's glory alone. And God will use your faith that faces lions, to bring encouragement and blessing to your family and friends, to your neighbors and co-workers, to your descendants for generations. Be bold in service to God. Be brave to suffer for God. This is our Reformation heritage given to us by God to live out in our generation. This is our fierce faith, faith to face lions. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue by confessing our faith using the Apostles' Creed and its explanations as they're printed out for you. The first article, creation. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
What does this mean?
I believe that God created me and all that exists, and that he gave me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my mind and all my abilities. And I believe that God still preserves me richly and daily, providing clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land and cattle,
The second article, redemption. I believe
in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven.
What does this mean?
I believe that Jesus Christ, the true God, begotten of the Father from eternal eternity, and also a true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of hell, not with gold or silver, but with his holy and precious blood.
The third article, sanctification. I believe
in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What does this mean? We continue with prayer. Dear God of all, we praise you for rescuing your servant Daniel from the lion's den and for using him to give a witness to you before King Darius and his entire kingdom. We praise you also for rescuing your servant Martin Luther and for using him to spread the message that we are saved through faith in Christ alone. Give us faith to face whatever danger and discomfort that comes our way, Make us bold to serve you and brave to suffer for you, knowing that you alone will rescue us in Jesus. Holy Spirit, we give you thanks for giving rebirth to Caleb James Schmidt today through water and the word. Keep him close to Christ. Help him to live by the power of his baptism. Bless his parents and sponsors as they raise him in your mighty word. Heavenly Father, we bless you for establishing marriage and for giving Ed and Sandy Strauss 50 years of wedded joy as of this coming Saturday. We thank you for being with them through happy times and through loss. We praise you for the blessing of family and friends that have been with them for so many years. In your grace, give them many more years together here and together with you in eternity. Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. In your wisdom, you called our brother, Myron Luce, home to heaven this past week. Please comfort Leon and her children and the entire family that because you live, Myron too shall live, and so will all who trust in you. Please use our church family to support them in the weeks to come. Heavenly Father, you are the giver of life. We give you thanks for a healthy baby girl, Louisa Erin Egan, born to Jake and Wendy this past week. Thank you for the gift of good health. Bless and keep this growing family, and grant new life to Louisa in baptism soon. Jesus, you are the Lord of the church. Please be with our College of Ministry Training, Martin Luther College, as it moves earlier than expected to virtual learning for the rest of the semester. Please grant recovery to all with COVID-19, safety to all who travel, and wisdom to President Gergel and the rest of the leadership at MLC as they navigate this difficult year. Jesus, you are Lord of the nations. We praise you for the peace and freedoms and blessings that we enjoy in our country. Please grant peace and order to the elections process this week. Bless our government and all who run the polls with integrity and diligence to their respective duties. Regardless of the outcome, lead all to honor your representatives in government and give to us in the church the determination to spread the message of eternal peace with God in you. In Jesus' name we join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. The congregation may be seated for the closing hymn. Thank you so much again for worshiping with us this weekend here in God's house. Special thanks to those of you who were able to tune in and watch on the live stream or on the recorded service or on cable TV on Tuesday. Please join us again soon. This morning, are we still in need of any more cleaning volunteers? I'm seeing a hand raised with a few. So if you're able to stick around and help with cleaning, please see John Martin in the back. He's that good-looking bald guy with the black mask on. This morning, we are starting a new unit for Bible study. Very excited about that. We've got a study on relationships among Christians, how God designed those relationships, and how he wants to strengthen and bless them. That'll be here in the sanctuary between services. This morning, also, we're pleased to have with us several members of Ed and Sandy Strauss's family for their 50th anniversary, wedding anniversary celebration. We also have some flowers up in the front underneath the big cross to glorify God on this special occasion for them. Today, we have a voters meeting coming up after late service, so we invite you to come back for that if you're able. And then the next two weekends, November 8th and 15th, we have some open forums. The members of the Long Range Planning has been busy behind the scenes getting together a proposal and some plans for a 3K that the congregation and the voters directed them to look into. So we're excited to roll out some information on that. Since the bulletin was printed on Wednesday, one decision that was made about one of the items in the bulletin, the Living Nativity. Much to our dismay, we've decided to cancel the Living Nativity this year. We really wanted to have it, but just with the extra coronavirus cases kind of booming in our county and the public being asked to in general, avoid big events, we thought it was in the best interests of everyone involved to cancel that for this year. So Living Nativity canceled. Do I see another announcement at the back? Okay, come on up. Our president, Congregational President Todd Martin.
Good morning, everyone. Pastor touched on it a little bit. We do have a voters meeting at 11:45 today. I strongly encourage everybody, if you can make it, please do. There are packets in the back on the table outside the member room in the narthex. You can grab those, look through them before the meeting. All the reports are in there, along with some details regarding the long-range planning stuff that Pastor talked about. Read through them before the meeting. Come with questions. We are going to Zoom that meeting as well. Pastor Miller is going to put together some things and send out an email with a link for those of you who can't make it. But like I said, I'd strongly encourage everyone to come. There are some updates and some things that we need to go through today. And then just to touch on what Pastor had said too about the open forums, that's going to be the time to bring some questions regarding the Long Range Planning Committee's work. Kind of the drawings that have been put together, and those will be on the 8th and the 15th. So again, 11:45 today, voters meeting, and we'll all be here, I guess. We're gonna meet in the sanctuary, all right? So it'll be the same thing that we did for the meeting back in June. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Todd. All right, are there any other announcements for this morning? If not, then the last thing we have is our Wells Connection for the month of November.